Amen, amen. Well, this year the Lord showed me a few things leading to Open Heavens. Of course, Open Heavens itself, the convention, the weekend, was such a powerful time of impartation and such a mighty move of God in our midst, and we're so thankful. And the Lord kind of opened my eyes to see how after services of impact, like conventions and weekends of impact, we generally tend to lose it. Most of the time, within a few days, within a couple of weeks, it's all gone. And part of what that does is it's almost like, you know, it's like if you are building and you're placing one building block upon another, and then you do all this work and put a block and you're building, and then something comes and just kicks off the block. So you are really putting a lot of energy into building. But at the end of the day, if you take a close look at what you're building, it's not really being built. Because yeah, you are putting a lot of energy into building, but because you are not paying a lot of attention, those building blocks are being kicked and being broken down. So you end up, and this really does explain why a lot of believers really never really grow. It's not that we don't have encounters. It's not that we don't have great experiences. It's not like the Lord doesn't move and do amazing things through the Holy Spirit in our lives. But what always happens, always, is we tend to lose it all. And many times, within the same period, actually. In fact, there's that parable in the New Testament. You might remember this. I did not prepare this. I'm not going to try to go there. But you see some of the ones that I prepared for today's service. But there's that parable in the New Testament where the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about a man sowed some crops in his field. This man sowed some high-value crops in his field. Precious, precious crops. And everybody went to sleep. And by the time they woke up the following morning, you couldn't even see the high-value crops that were sown. The only thing you could see there were all these ugly-looking weeds. Ugly-looking weeds. And somebody said, what happened? He said, they used this statement, the enemy has done this. The enemy has done this. So you can have a mighty move of the Holy Spirit, and if you are not diligent and if you are not paying attention, within the same cycle, you can have a mighty move of the enemy to the extent where you will not even remember what the Holy Spirit did. You won't even remember. You won't even remember you had an encounter with God. You won't even remember that you had, and this happens all the time. Every time the Lord visits you, watch out. The next thing that's going to happen is Satan is going to show up. And so ahead of the convention, and every year, many of you know, July, you know, you're so tired, you're so this, you're so, I mean, we walk, you know, all the way to Open Heavens and everything's high intensity. And, you know, we generally want to have a little reset. You refresh. Every minister needs to refresh. Every minister needs to reset and, you know, clear the air and get with the Lord and have clear direction and rebounds. So you are ready for the next step. And so typically most years after Open Heavens, you know, in July, we also kind of just pull back, you know, relax and everything. And then the Lord said, no, don't do that this year. Preach open heavens right through July. Like you are preaching convention right through the month of July. And have high impact right through that season. And then rest after that. But the seeds that were sown would already have taken root in the ground. Because a weekend convention is awesome. But I guarantee you, before the following weekend, if you are not careful, you can forget that you even had convention. So much noise, so much drama, so many happenings. If you are not careful, by the time you get to the following weekend after your convention, you don't even remember you had open heaven. Somebody had to remind you. And when you think about it, you have to go, the enemy has done this. Because you don't even see any evidence of it. But it was high impact. It was a glorious move of the Holy Spirit. But you lost it all. But somebody said with me, this year is different. We're not losing it. We're not losing anything. Amen. So I took some time to pray like that. Just when I came to the pulpit. So I took some time to pray like that. Because we're not losing it. Amen. We're not losing the fire. We're not losing the virtue. We're not losing the garment. I mean, if in the natural, I mean, if you're not careful, just daily life and just the things that happen in daily life, if you're not careful by Tuesday, you could have forgotten, Tuesday of open heavens, you could have forgotten that what we were talking about at open heavens was the fire of the Holy Spirit. Because so much has taken over in the mind, so much has taken over in our daily lives, so much has happened that you almost don't even remember that you had Holy Spirit fire. Let alone Holy Spirit himself. Somebody say it will be different. Say it will be different for me. It will be different for us. And we will maintain what the Lord has given us. Yeah, as a wise master builder, we build and you want to put blocks upon blocks. And that's our goal. Amen? So, I have a few scriptures. I know I'm running out of time. It's communion and I wasn't going to haul out or preach at you. But I want to have a very high impact service today post-convention that brings a few things to your attention. Did you find that scripture that I was referring to? Did anybody find it? Matthew 13:24. Can you help me put that up? Let's look at that scripture. I didn't really get it ready. I just got it right here. Matthew 13. But it starts from 24. Matthew 13 from 24, please. Let's read it together. Matthew 13:24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. 25. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. 26. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. 27. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? So how come then what we're really seeing is predominantly tares and weeds? Verse 28. He said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, will you then that we go and gather them? Let's stop right there. Because that's when they asked him, "What do you want us to go pull out the weeds?" And say, no, leave them. Let them all grow up together. So we will let them grow up together, but the power of the good seed will override the power of the weeds. Amen. Amen. The power of the good seed will override and overwhelm the weeds. Go back there to John chapter 2. This was our first scripture during the weekend. John chapter 2 and verse 1. Said, on the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with you? My hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he says unto you, do what? Do it. That's wisdom. Whatsoever he says unto you, do what? Do it. Somebody say, that's wisdom. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with wine. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and he did not know from whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and said unto him, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But you have kept the good wine until now. We read a number of translations which says that was not just the good wine. They described it as the best wine. You have kept the best wine until now. And verse 11 says, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. So we did establish that Jesus wants to give us good wine. And actually, during the Open Heavens weekend, we received some good wine. Some of us received the best wine. That is the next level, next best quality of life that God has for you. The best wine. Somebody say, I have the best wine. Say it again. Say, I have the best. Whatever we had currently, before a visitation of the Holy Spirit, that's water. It's not bad. It's just not the best. And God wants the best for us. God has given the best to us. He has made available the best for us. What is this best? The highest quality of life possible. The best wine. The highest quality of life possible. God has the best for you. Say that with me. God has the best for me. Say, God has new wine for me. New wine. God has new wine for me. God has new wine for me. Go to Joel chapter 2. God has new wine for me. You receive some of that new wine during the convention. You receive some of that new wine. That new wine carries the blessing of God for different areas of your life. Amen. When you receive new wine for water, that means areas of your life where you had average, God brings you best. So average, you can sustain. Remember, you know, I can't go back because of time. In John chapter 2, he said to them, one verse there, said this, they said they had no wine. They needed wine. I got to go check it out. Get that. What's that verse 3? Forgive me. See, they did not have wine, right? Let's read. Put that up. Just put that up for me so I can move on real. Thank you. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. See, they have water, but they have no wine. They have water, and water sustains life, but they have no wine. Wine is what gives you higher quality of life. Water sustains life. Water helps you live barest minimum. You survive from day to day. In different areas of your life, water is good. You enjoy water. Water preserves life. But wine is better. Because wine gives you access to a higher quality of life. Wine gives you access to far better than just average, than just ordinary. Wine is better. In your health, wine is better. You know, people can be alive, but, you know, they are alive, but they are alive like they are not alive. Wine is better. Yes, ma'am. Hallelujah. It's a higher quality of life. Wine is better in your health, in your physical body, in your finances, in your relationships. How many of you know in relationship you can have water? You are just sustained. People just know, you're there, you're okay. We have a relationship. But wine makes that relationship sweet. Amen. When you have a higher quality of life, then it's sweet. It goes from ordinary to sweet. Financially, you can just have bare minimum. Just surviving day to day. Water preserves. Water keeps you going. But God has wine for you. God has better than just ordinary for you. In every area of your life, every area. Don't take one and leave the other out. Every area. Until it is every area is not complete. Oh, I'm preaching to you. I'm preaching to you. The Lord is speaking to you here. Look at Joel chapter 2 and look at verse 23 to 25. This was the Holy Spirit that was responsible for this. And of course, if you read that scripture all the way down to the verses towards the end of this chapter, you see it's the Holy Spirit. It's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that did this. Let's read it from verse 23. Be glad then, you children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has done what? He has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain. The former rain and the latter rain in the first month. See, the former rain, having the former rain moderately is like, it's just like subsistence living. It's just average, it's just ordinary, it's just bare minimum. But when God gives you a deluge from heaven, and he pours out upon you former rain and latter rain in the same month. And this is not chronologically or geographically or topographically consistent. You don't have former rain and latter rain in the same month. One of them comes in the spring, the other comes in the fall. But when God turns all that around and gives you former rain and latter rain, all in the same season, my friend, that is huge. It means while you are sowing, you are reaping at the same time. While you are sowing, you are reaping. You are just sowing your crop up. It's like that scripture in Amos 9:13, where it says the reaper will overtake the sowers. Hallelujah. It's about the same time that you are sowing, it's already ready. It's ready to reap. You don't have to wait 6 months, 1 year for harvest. It's right there in the same month. He said, and the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil. The vat shall overflow with wine and oil. See, that's something. It will overflow. It won't be tiny little drops. It will overflow. When you experience this spiritually, it's like the best quality of life possible, all in the same season. Overflow. Wine and oil, overflow. Then he said in verse 23, and I will restore to you the years. That's why he will. That's how he will. Yeah. I will restore to you the years that the cankerworms ate, caterpillar. I will restore, because there will be an overflow of wine and oil. Yeah. I will restore to you. And of course, like I said, if you go all the way down, you know, and it says there'll be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, verse 28. It shall come to pass after I'll pour my spirit. So all of this is by the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit visits with us, it's new wine, my friends. It's new wine. Don't go too far. Go from Joel 2. Go to Joel 3. And let's read verse 18. Let's go there. It says, and it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord and shall water the valley of Shittim. New wine, milk, rivers, they all flow together. Hallelujah. New wine, milk, rivers, add honey. They all flow together. A higher quality of life. A higher quality of life. I know this scripture, the original, the actual full understanding of this particular scripture in Isaiah doesn't, if you read it in context, you want to fully understand it. He's saying something slightly different, but I like the way it is constructed in the King James version of the Bible, telling us there is blessing in the new wine. There is God's blessing for you and for me in the new wine. When the Lord presents new wine to you, there is blessing in the new wine. Isaiah 65 verse 8. There is blessing in it. There is blessing in it. Hallelujah. God cannot visit you and your life not radically change. That woman with the issue of blood, you remember that woman? I mean, do you think her life ever remained the same? No, in addition to going around telling everybody and broadcasting what the Lord had done for her, she totally had a new lease on life. Because money she was using to do MRI, money she was using to do x-rays, money she was paying physician, money she trying to just sustain her life. What was she now using that money for? Huh? Enjoying her life. Living the good life. Hallelujah. I really like it there. It says, look at it up there, Isaiah 65. Thus says the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and somebody says, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. For a blessing is in it. So will I do for my servants' sakes, that I may not destroy them all. And like I said, the full understanding of that scripture, if you read it in its context, is saying a little bit more than that. It's saying a little bit more than that. But I like the way the King James constructed it. The new wine is found in the cluster. Do you know there's new wine in your cluster right now? Holy Spirit gave you new wine in your cluster. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit gave you new wine in your cluster. There's new wine in your cluster right now. And so then what does that tell us? There is a blessing in it. There is a blessing in that new wine. Oh, I don't know about you. My life has been bubbling since last weekend. I mean, next level. I mean, real next level. Amen. And it's not like being spooky and being weird and, you know, seeing devils everywhere. No, that's not what it is. But you just know you got a bump. You are up at a higher level. And that higher level also comes with some significant dominion and authority. It comes with a level of dominion and authority. Remember in Luke chapter 4, after the Holy Spirit came up, I didn't prepare this scripture, but you can look at it because I'm hearing the Holy Spirit speak these things right here on this pulpit, and I'm just repeating what I'm hearing. Right in Luke chapter 4 verse 18, when he said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me, right? Isn't that what he said? This was shortly after he went to the desert to have his time with the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit came upon him. You remember, I think it was Luke chapter 3, he was being baptized and the Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove. Radically changes life. The Holy Spirit cannot come upon you and you remain the same. You either came out of last weekend's events, services, with a touch from the Holy Spirit, or you came out with nothing. You gave offering, You drove, gas is very expensive now, so you drove to church with expensive gas. And some people even drove very far, Akron, Canton, and then you gave offering and tithe. Then somebody was shouting at you, spitting upon you, making you jump, making you dance. You went through all of that. You shouldn't come out of that and not get something from the Holy Spirit. You should not. You should not. You should not. You should not. You go through all of that, then you've got to say, okay, this is what the Lord gave me. This is mine. And I'm going to hold on to it. Amen. Amen. Oh, what a power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, what a power of the Holy Spirit. In real time, what a power of the Holy Spirit. What a power of the Holy Spirit. In real time. In real time. Healings and deliverances. And glory to God. One of our ministers, you know, was so touched. God bless him. Said he wanted to see me Monday. I don't sleep. We finished convention. I mean, I need rest. Said, well, if possible. Before you get on the road, if possible. So yeah, then. I know the Lord impacted many of his people. The question is, will you keep what you got? Will you keep it? Because unfortunately, by Tuesday, Wednesday, the enemy is also been he's been sowing tears, so that you will lose hold of the fire of the Holy Spirit you receive. Even in the service, some people were already, you know, just struggling to hold on to it. Even while the service was going on. But what we've got to do is, we've got to make up our mind, what the Holy Spirit gave me, I'm going to have it, I'm going to nurture it, I'm going to build it, and I'm going to increase in it. And my life will never be the same. My life will never be the same. Because the enemy is going to come. Attack will come. Different things will come. Distractions. Goodness, distractions. But what do we do with distractions? You have a level of dominion and authority. What do you do with it? You just take authority. Just exercise that authority. There is no room for fear. There is no room for anxiety. There is no room for panic. Listen to me. How can you come in the presence of the Lord and have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, and then you get out of there and fear can still find room in your heart? It's impossible. It's impossible. If fear or anxiety finds room in your heart after an encounter with the Holy Spirit, it means you didn't get it. You didn't get it. You did not get it. Put up for me, Acts chapter 4, verse 31. He said they were threatening their lives. They were doing all of this. The religious leaders were attacking them, were trying to, you know. But the Bible said they went, they got together with other believers. They prayed. When they filled the place where they prayed and the Holy Spirit came upon them, the whole place was shaking and boldness came upon them. Boldness. You cannot encounter the Holy Spirit and then you have fear. Fear and anxiety. It is impossible. It is not possible. He just tells me immediately, you didn't get him. You did not get him. You can't panic. Panic over what? You know, you go somewhere, you find out, oh, the Holy Spirit was working, but the devil tried to change something in your financial situation or change something at your work. You don't start panicking. You just encounter the Holy Spirit. There's no room for panic. What does it? Look at that scripture. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaking where they were assembled together. And they were all what? Filled with the Holy Ghost. And they did what? They spoke the word with boldness. Boldness. There's a level of authority that comes upon you when you encounter God. If you truly encounter him. You cannot encounter. Listen, Moses, who had never had the spine to face ordinary Egyptians, when he encountered the fire of God in Exodus chapter 3, God said, go and meet Pharaoh. He said, go and talk to Pharaoh. The man was running from ordinary Egyptians. The Lord said, go and meet Pharaoh. I'm saying all of that because I want you to take your place.
Take your.
The enemy tries to sow in that. Just take your place. Just take your place and hold on to it and keep building. Where did I have you in Luke chapter 4 verse 18? The Holy Spirit came upon him. Well, down there in that scripture, two verses, whether it's verse 20 or 32, I'm not sure now. I think it was 20, I'm not sure. Luke chapter 4. After he, in verse 18, he said, the Spirit of the Lord, and then he was ministering in the temple. He read the scripture. And I think one of those, he says, his word was with authority. His word was with authority. What verse is that? It's in Luke chapter 4. His word was, after he spoke it, they said, his word is with authority and power. Find that scripture for me, because I know it's there in Luke chapter 4. There you go. Thank you. 21, go on. 22, go on. 23, go on. 24, 25, 36, 36. Is it? There's one before 36. 33. Okay, let's see 33 first. I know there are two verses there. Okay, yeah, he healed that. I think there's one before this where they spoke about just his word. He had not done it. That's it. 32, that's it. Thank you. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with what? That word power there is not dunamis. It's exousia in the Greek. Exousia is authority. Authority and dominion. His word was with authority and dominion. Remember where we're coming from? The Holy Spirit came upon him in Luke chapter 3, like a dove. He received that encounter with the Holy Spirit. By the time he got to Luke chapter 4 verse 18, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, right? And then in verse 32, they were astonished. He was just still speaking. He had not prayed. He had not ministered. He was just speaking. His word was with authority and dominion. And then go down now to, after he ministered to this person, cast out unclean spirit, verse 36. And they were all amazed, and they spoke among themselves and said, what a word is this? For with authority and power, he commanded the unclean spirit, and they come out. You cannot, there is no room anywhere, not for worry, not for panic, not for anxiety, not for fear. There is not for nervous. There is no room anywhere for that. When you encounter the Holy, truly when you encounter the Holy Spirit for real, authority and dominion. Yes. In a different dimension. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. God wants to give you the new wine of the Holy Spirit and give you access to the best life possible. Give you access to the best life possible through your encounter with the Holy Spirit. Through your encounter with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to read this part of it here. I've got to read this here because I don't know if I'm going to stop in just a few minutes now. Listen to this. Listen to this. I wrote this down just this morning. Whatever the Lord, whenever the Lord imparts something precious or something of value into your life, it is your utmost responsibility to nurture it. Hold on to it firmly, because Satan will immediately go to work and see to it that you lose that precious gift from the Lord. He's going to try to take it away. He's going to try to take that precious gift away. Only the Holy Spirit can help us achieve this. So it is important that we are spiritual. Continue to stay engaged with him and draw closer with him. Don't lose what you got from him. Stay spiritual. Stay spiritual. I want to close out Mark chapter 4 from that that parable of the sower. But let's, you know what? Let's read a couple of, go back to Romans chapter 8 for me here. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 6. Remember, when we read these scriptures last week, on Sunday, I think it was, talking about to be carnally minded is what? Is death. But to be spiritually minded is what? is life and peace. I got to point something out to you here. Listen, to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Is life and peace. To be carnally minded means to think like people think in the world. That is what it means to be carnally minded. Carnally minded is not just this, it's not this term, this big mysterious term we don't understand. No, to be carnally minded means to think like people think in the world. To give access in your life and in your mind to worldly thinking. That's carnality, that's carnal minded. To respond in life like people in the world respond in life. That's to be carnally minded. And he says, to be carnally minded is what? Is death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Is life and peace. Now, this is verse 6. We know where the life of the Holy Spirit comes, is verse 11, isn't it? Let's read verse 11. I'll bring you back to verse 6 and make a comment right here. Verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, then what would happen? He that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead shall do what? Quicken your mortal bodies. By who? By who? By worldly thinking? By his spirit that dwells within you. This is where Joyce Meyer calls it the battle of the mind. This is where the difference is. The difference is in being able to stand your ground and put the devil in his place. One preacher used to call it Satan get lost. Satan get lost. It's being able to stand in your mind and put Satan in his place. Satan get lost. When you start hearing all these noises and you start seeing all these storms and winds blowing, man, the devil is just so sick. He's just so silly. I mean, this week alone, if I count for you how many areas and how many times the enemy just simply came to try to create a distraction around me, my life, I, the preacher from open heavens, the one who was so anointed, still less, thank you. But if I tell you how many times he tried to create some noise there, something there, some silly thing here, some distraction there, and when you think about it, you've just got to go, man, he's so crazy. He's so mad because he doesn't know what to do with the encounter of the Holy Spirit that we enjoy. He's so mad. He's just throwing up dust, he's throwing up dust. But listen, in every single one of these situations, what was my response? Satan, get lost. I don't even give him time of day. I don't even let that anything fester. Satan, do what? Get lost. Why? Because you have authority and dominion. You have authority. When you encounter the Holy Spirit, you don't have fear. You don't have panic. You have authority. You have authority and dominion. Satan, get lost. Satan, get lost. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I have authority. Now, stay here. This is Romans 8:11. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead, what would he do? He will do what? He will quicken. Now, this is where it happens here. You and I, we've got to give the Holy Spirit room to do his work. Because the Holy Spirit will not force us. We've got to give him room. How do we give him room? He's back there in verses 5 and 6. Now, look at verse 11. It is the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead. If that same spirit dwells within us, he will quicken things in our lives. He will quicken our, he will do a work. He will do it. But we've got to give him room. How do we give him room? Go back to verse 5 and 6. For to be carnally minded is what? Oh, let's go to verse 5. For they that are in the flesh, They that are in the flesh, what do they do? They mind the things of the flesh. But they that are in the spirit, what do they do? They mind the things of the spirit. I want you to notice the word mind. They that are in the flesh, their minds are consumed by the things of the flesh. Shake your neighbor, shake them. Say, you gotta get this one. This is July open heaven. Shake them. Slap somebody. Say, you gotta get this. This is a revelation that can save your life. Don't tune us off here. Don't sleep. Don't doze. Don't see revelation. Don't dream. Don't see an angel here. This is not the time for it. That's right. Slap yourself if you have to. Hallelujah. Listen, for they that are after the flesh do what? Mind. He's using the word mind, your mind. He's using it as a verb. Because it is what you are doing. He's using your mind to refer to what you are doing. How you are acting. How you are talking. How you are responding. The people that are in the flesh, that are after the flesh, how do you know the difference? If I'm standing here and the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead, who has the ability to quicken my mortal body, he's right here and he's trying to quicken my mortal body. What is it that determines whether I'm giving him room to quicken my mortal body? It is what I'm doing with my mind. For they that are after the flesh, they are minding the things of the flesh. What about the people, the ones who are walking after the spirit? They are minding. It's the same mind. But there's a place where you make up your mind. Hallelujah, Holy Spirit. There's a place where you make up your mind. Hey, listen. I'm minding the Holy Spirit. I'm aligned with the Holy Spirit. I'm Holy Spirit minded. I am not carnally minded. I'm going to give room to God. Let him continue to work in my life. And there's no room for anything from the world. Oh man, how believers need to get this. How believers need to know this. There's no room to mind the flesh. Why? Because give us verse 6. To be carnally minded, to mind the flesh, will lead down the road of death. But to mind the spirit will lead up to the road of life and peace. Life and peace is what it means to quicken in Romans 8:11. Is to quicken, is Romans 8:11. To quicken means to give life and peace. So, each and every one of us have a decision to make. I'm going to yield my mind. Oh, the Holy Spirit said something to me. Just at the beginning of this service. In addition, I had all this message prepared, but he said something to me. Right here, I was minding my business, praying. They said pray, we were praying, I was praying. But I heard this. And you've got to hear this, because many times this is a trap many believers fall into. There is a difference between being spiritually minded and being spiritually aware. There is a difference between being spiritually minded and being spiritually aware. Being spiritually aware means you know this stuff. You learn this stuff. You know it. You know this is right. What you are hearing in this service, whether you are online or you are in this little room today, you know what the Holy Spirit is ministering to you right here in this room is the truth. So you are spiritually aware. Are you gonna do it? That's the verb. Are you letting what you are aware of, are you letting it affect every part of your consciousness? So that is what you are doing all the time. You don't get pass mark for being spiritually aware. Satan is also spiritually aware. You win the victory when you let what you are aware of from the word of God, from the Holy Spirit, you let it transform your mind. You let it dictate the attitude of your mind, the steps you take in your mind, the walk, the thoughts you allow, the things you are permitting in your mind. And somebody doesn't say to you, hey, bro, What you are saying does not align with the word of God, and you don't go, yeah, I know what the word of God says. Okay, you know what the word of God says. We don't just need you to know what the word of God says. We need you to what? We need you to what? Because doing it is the verb. That's the being minded. Hallelujah. If you have an encounter with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit does something in your life, then you nurture it. You nurture it. You don't get away from there and begin to act as though you never entered the presence of God. Like the Lord never spoke to you. Like you didn't encounter him. You don't start acting like your same old self. You do it. You do it. You do it. Oh, come on. We got to close this service. You do it. You do it. That's what it means to be spiritual. It's to give your mind to the spirit. That's the simple definition of being spiritual. Being spiritual doesn't mean being spooky, being weird, casting out devils everywhere. You see devil in a chair. You see devil on the car seat. You see devil in... No, that's not what it means to be spiritual. That's spooky. There can't be a devil everywhere around your life. If there's a devil everywhere around your life, then you need to check yourself up. There's something wrong with you. Can't be a devil everywhere. This food somebody cooked, you don't know who cooked it. I mean, there's a devil in this food. There's no devil in it. And if there's a devil in it, cast it out, eat it. The Bible says sanctified by the one and bread. You can't allow this spookiness to affect your life. You can't make progress. You can't do things. You can't enjoy the blessings of God because you're always afraid. Actually, at the end of the day, it's fear. Those things is fear all the time. Oh, why? Well, I don't want it because he may kill me. Oh, I don't want it because they may harm me. They can't harm you. They can't harm you. You have authority and dominion. You have authority. Did you see what he said? He said, let the tears and the seeds, let them grow up together. I'm preaching Open Heavens. It's Open Heavens part 2. Let the tears and the weed grow up. There is no devil anywhere in your family. There is no devil. Listen to me. There's no devil anywhere that can touch your life. None. None. They will fall down, all of them. They will fall down. They will fall down. The moment they come at you, if you stay spiritually minded. Say to your neighbor, say, be spiritually minded. Let's close this. We have communion. Let's close. Let's close. I want us to close. I want us to close at, let's close Mark chapter 4. Let's go there real quick. We can do this in 5 minutes and go to communion. If the devil then immediately is going to try to take away from you everything, every precious thing you receive in the presence of God when you have an encounter with the Lord, how does he do it? How does he do it? You see, we can do this in 5 minutes and go to communion real quick. Mark chapter 4 and go there to verse 14. Jesus is explaining the parable of the sower and he says, the sower sows the word. Oh, Jesus. The sower sows the word. Oh, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. The word of God is life-changing. The word of God is radically life-changing. This word will bring you life and peace. This word will move every mountain. This word will destroy the opposition of every liar. This word. The sower sows the word. And then, verse 15. These are there by the wayside. Where the word is sown. But when they have heard, what happened? Come on, help me read this, church. What happened? Satan come. Did he come 1 week later? Did he come 1 month later? That's why we're going to preach Open Heavens in July. How quickly does Satan come? Somebody say, immediately. Immediately. Say immediately. He doesn't wait. You know why he doesn't wait? He doesn't want that thing to get root in the ground. He doesn't want it. Because he knows if he waits and you water that seed and you know, the thing will be, by the time he's trying to pull it out, it will be WW. What's that thing called? He has to fight harder, use a lot more energy to get it. He doesn't want that. He wants to just come and blow it quick. So he comes immediately. If you are not careful, sometimes before you leave the parking lot, he comes. Hallelujah. He comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in your heart. Oh, Jesus. Oh, this devil is so cunning. He's so crafty. But he's a liar. He's a liar. This is a mystery to me. Even in the service last week on Sunday, I remember I started casting out lying spirit. I started to say, I rebuke that lying spirit. I went back later to what I said, where did that come from? It wasn't my consciousness. I said, I rebuke that lying spirit. Even while the service was on, even while God was moving, where great things were happening in the realm of the spirit, that lying spirit was already working. He comes immediately. To do what? What is his agenda? Is the agenda just to make you more comfortable? To make you happy? To make you more excited? To make you more on fire with the Holy Spirit? No. What is his plan? Is to take it away. So it does not produce fruit. Then, second group, verse 16. Those are those that are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. They're excited about it. But then they have no root. So then what happened? Endure for a time. But afterward, when what? Affliction, persecution arise for the word's sake. What happened? Somebody said the word immediately. Say the word immediately. Immediately, you are saying it second time. Immediately they are offended. Where is that offense coming from? I said, where is that offense coming from? You think it's the Holy Spirit bringing offense? When you have been in an encounter with the Holy Spirit over a weekend? What about the affliction? Where is it coming from? Where is that affliction coming from? What about persecution? Where is persecution coming from? You think it's the Holy Spirit bringing persecution? So what are we supposed to do with all these things? Stand our ground and be spiritually minded. And take authority. You can't pacify offense. You cannot win a debate with offense. Offense is skilled in debating. What do you do with offense? Take authority over it. And walk in love. That's all. That's it. Jesus Christ. I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit and I've got to keep it. I can't lose what I got. What does it take to make me lose it? Just one debate, one argument with you. It's over. One argument with somebody in your workplace. One argument with somebody in your home. One argument with somebody. I mean, that's it. It's gone. You've lost everything. What do you do? Spiritually minded. What does it mean? I'm minding the spirit. Right here. So, take authority over that offense. Say, in the name of Jesus, we cast you down. Offense. That lying spirit. The devil is just cunning, trying to sow tears. We cast you down. I say, we cast you down. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to hold on to what we got from the Spirit of God right here. We're going to hold on to it. We're going to hold on to it right here. I mean, you may have a mechanic that has never argued with you ever in your life. And the day after open heavens, you went to service your car, he started raising fire and brimstone. Like he knew you from Adam. Like, it's like, what is wrong? This man is always happy. He's always smiling with me. He's always, and if you are not careful, you lose your cool and you get into an argument with him. You start matching word for word. But you have to see beyond what the mechanic is saying. There is a spirit trying to walk. And then what do? Take authority over it and walk in love. Oh, I love you. I know you're just trying to be funny. You're trying to make me spend more money. Get out of here. I love you. I just love you just like that. Hallelujah. Do you know, people cannot stay offended when you walk in love towards them? No matter what arguments people have, do you know all these arguments, they have to stop when you walk in love towards them. And just tell them, just get out of here. You're just trying to be funny. Just say, I'm not funny. I'm being very serious. I'm being very, in Jesus' name, I love you. Oh my God. Oh, Jesus. In Jesus' name, I love you just like that. Just like that. Look, you are your lovely sir. I just love you. I love you, Joe. And then you quickly turn around and say, I rebuke that spirit in Jesus' name. So you don't let him see what you are doing, right? But when you are rebuking that spirit, when you turn around, the spirit is hearing. Because there's a spirit walking there. Somebody say, we're going to keep everything we got. Hallelujah. Say, we're going to nurture it. And we're going to grow in it. We haven't even, all he gave is just like, he said it will overflow with wine and oil. We have not even received overflow yet. We just got a few drops. And Satan will try to take it. No, I'm not letting go of these drops of wine and oil. I'm going to grow in it. I'm going to nurture it. Oh, stand to your feet, somebody. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Come on. I want you to do some spiritual business right here. Join me in the spirit. Join me in the spirit. There's something called the supply of the Holy Spirit. Join me in the spirit. Let's insist. Let's insist. God's work in our lives will be established in the name of the Lord Jesus. God's work in your family will be established in the name of Jesus. God's work in your ministry will be established in the name of Jesus. God's work in your finances will be established in the name of Jesus. God's work in your career will be established. Come on, join with me in the spirit right now. Let's do it. In the name of Jesus, there is no room for the enemy. God's work in your body. God's work in your mind. God's work in your spirit. God's work in your finances. God's work in your health. God's work in your future. God's work in your destiny. God's work in your marriage. God's work in your children. God's work in your life. We'll be established. We'll be established. We'll be established. We are not losing it. We are holding on to it. We are not losing it. We are holding on. Come on. We are not losing it. We are holding on. We are not losing it. We are holding on. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Some of you have had to deal with that spirit of offense this week. You've had to deal with that spirit of offense this week. You just don't know what's stirring this up. Why is there anger? Why, what's this upset and this hurt? What is this? Come on, is that spirit? You cast down that foul spirit. Some of you have had to deal with that lying spirit in the name of Jesus. That lying spirit that is speaking words that are not wholesome. That lying spirit that is speaking words that are not born in the word of God. You cast it down. You take authority over the lying spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus. Some of you have had to relate with people from far away places, maybe even other cities, other states, other nations, where the enemy has tried to kind of pull you down and make you sad and disappoint you and confuse you. You take authority over that foul spirit. Some of you have dealt with physical issues and bodily issues where Satan has been trying to speak into your spirit through the issues and the pain you feel in your body. You know that's a lying spirit. You take authority over that lying spirit. You say, you get lost, Satan. Get away from me in the name of the Lord Jesus. My temple, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells within me. Get away from me, Satan. Get lost in the name of Jesus. Lying spirits trying to walk in your finances. Lying spirit trying to walk through relationship. Lying spirit trying to walk through different dimensions and different areas of your life. Trying to suggest things that are not of God. Trying to say things that God told you are not so. You know that's a liar. You know that's a lying spirit. You put it in its place in the name of Jesus. Shut it out. Say, I take authority. Say, I walk in dominion. I take authority. I walk in dominion in the name of Jesus. Come on, say this with me. Greater is he than he that is in me than he that is in the world. Come on, I gotta say this right. Say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Say it one more time. Say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Say this with me. I am more than a conqueror through him that loved me. Oh, for I am convinced and I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor offense, nor lies, nor disappointments, nor hurts, nor pain, nothing can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. We're about to take communion. The Bible says there in Revelation 5:2, Revelation 7:2, Jesus received power. He received honor, glory, dominion, blessings. He received them all, riches. He received them all. He received them all and then he gave them to you. And then he gave them to. That is the blessing in the new wine. That is the blessing in the new wine. He received them and then he gave them to you. And what I want you to do through communion today is I want you to establish the blessing that God gave to you. It's never leaving your life. It's never leaving your home. It's never leaving your family. It's never leaving your destiny. You are going to hold on to that blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Doesn't matter where you go. You may be flying. You may be driving. You may be traveling wherever. The Holy Spirit is with you. He's with you in the car. He's with you in the airport. He's not only in church. He's not only in the pulpit. The Holy Spirit is with you everywhere. He's with you at the gas station. He's with you in the men's room, in the ladies' room. He's with you everywhere. And constantly, every moment, every day of your life, you've just got to keep, give him your mind. Be spiritually minded. Think like him. Look at things like him. Have his perspective. Speak like he was the one speaking. We're going to preserve it. We're going to hold on to it. It is ours. It is ours. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We bless your holy name. We bless your holy name. Thank you, Jesus.